Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine, an opportunity to retrieve who we are from whatever we've become and embody that as fully as we can. There's still time to play. Mom isn't calling us in for dinner, so let's get our heads back in the game. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and I'm on Team Human. Playing for Team Human today, it's me with a standalone monologue. It's time to intervene on behalf of people and all living things. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and you are on Team Human. I've been thinking a lot about this show, really, since the Naomi Klein interview that we did a few weeks ago, where she was talking about her book Doppelganger and having a public persona that got out of control and confused with Naomi Wolf. And while I haven't had quite that, I mean, there was a period of time when people confused me with Doug Copeland, but I guess we've differentiated ourselves from each other. But I do have a public persona that I feel like maybe it has gotten, I don't know, out of my control a little bit. It's more like I feel like it's this there's this Doug Rushkoff out there that I need to live up to. Some, you know, Team Human sponsoring, loving, you know, half awakened, you know, ethical guy who's got answers to lots of things. And I have answers to some things, but not anything. I just have my own approaches. I think about stuff, but I don't know. There's something too precious out there. I was thinking about that. And I remember Genesis Peorage said once that, you know, if you have a public image that you can see, once you can recognize it, you've got to kill it. But that's Genesis kills, you know, it's a little aggressive. But I think maybe it's more like once you recognize like an identity that you've become, a kind of a fixed identity that's kind of apart from you, I think the more important thing is set it free, right? It's not like it's bad. It's just, it's not you. It's just, it's something else. I'm not exactly sure what it looks like to set that free. One thing that Josh and Luke are suggesting is maybe let Team Human become, you know, Rushkoff Radio. Team Human's been around for, I guess, like 7 years and close to 300 episodes now. It's a great meme, but it's not me. It's a thing, and maybe move on to something a little bit more freeform. Certainly, you know, being some journalist with a microphone, you know, running around getting interviews with people. I mean, it's a wonderful thing and platforming people's ideas, but it doesn't feel quite right. But neither does becoming just another privileged, somewhat psychedelic white boy mansplaining the fabric of reality, the failures of capitalism, or the fantasies of a collective future. I don't know. So I'm changing it up. That's all. I'm going to keep you aware of what's happening, or at least what I think is happening as it happens. Okay. So what do I want to talk about today? I guess there's a piece I've been working on for The Guardian. It's supposed to be a longer one than the usual kind of 800 word jaunt I've been doing for Medium. And that's good, you know, take a little bit more time and write a bigger thing, you know, reduce frequency and increase impact and hopefully quality. And I kind of want to finish out the whole, I'm just so tired of the tech bros. I'm tired of the tech bros. But it feels like the only way to exorcise the tech bros is to actually exorcise them. So I'm working on a piece. I want to call it Slouching Toward Olympus, Wannabe Demigods of the New Gilded Age. And what I'm thinking of focus on is that there is something that's just different about today's tech billionaires, particularly from billionaires prior. There's so much news and speculation about the antics of these guys. They're apocalypse bunkers. That's me, right? I'm the one who speculated about those. The vampiric longevity strategies, their outlandish social media pronouncements, private space programs, virtual world building ambitions, that it's hard to remember they're not simply enacting a reality series or playing characters in some new Marvel movie series. It may feel like that to them, but for us, this is real life. Like, I saw Walter Isaacson's new biography of Elon Musk, and he writes about how Musk now really has the authority to defy the U.S. Air Force's requests to leverage the Starlink internet service in Ukraine and Crimea based on his own personal engagement with Russian officials and his own understanding of the conflict. That means we've entered new territory. I mean, yeah, Musk, he may be right. The Defense Production Act of 1950, that may be obsolete. And Ukraine's intention to enact a surprise attack may have been a bad long-term strategy. But since when have such decisions been the province of a single unelected individual? It's odd, right? I mean, the New Deal, I guess that was when the War Powers Act was started, and it gave the government authority over how billionaires would operate their companies. And I guess that's what gave the president sort of the legal leverage to get Chrysler to make tanks and Ford to build bombers and Buick to make airplane engines in World War II. So, you know, however, you know, avaristic they may have been, the titans of the past gilded eras, they still saw themselves as members of civil society with an obligation to turn over their factories. But today's billionaires, they seem to understand us civilians and the collective as impediments to their progress, you know, that we may be at best, we are sad, but necessary victims of the externalities of the company's necessary growth targets and members of the civilization that they will eventually leave behind in their inexorable colonization of the next dimension. And oddly enough, from the research I've been doing, it seems that today's tech billionaires, they're not any wealthier than their early 20th century counterparts. And in a lot of ways, they are poorer in inflation-adjusted dollars than those guys. But I read End Times by Peter Turchin, who I really do want to talk to for the show. And what he shows is that even though they're not richer, there's many, many, many more of them. So collectively, they've accumulated this much bigger proportion of the world's wealth than the billionaires of the past. He talks about something called the wealth pump, which is that sort of exponential digital economy thing I've been talking about that generates billionaires, like it's from a 3D printer, leading to this surplus of elites with very few means of distinguishing themselves. Their empires aren't based on single things, you know, like railroads or steel mills or oil wells, but these kind of virtual commodities like likes and views or crypto. I mean, the only evidence we see in the real world of their operations is mostly destruction, right? It's destruction and slavery and mining. For all of its problems, at least the auto industry of the 20th century, it made Detroit's middle class wealthy. Today's Silicon Valley businesses, they make us all poorer, right? Or most of us poorer. They've got tent villages, you know, and encampments around these corporate headquarters. You know, if they ask government for anything, they're calling government and the cops to clear the tent villages from their headquarters before they have big conferences. An imperiousness. I got to look that up. Like kingliness, right? Isn't that what that means? Imperiousness. I'm the professor. I'm asking you, and you can't even talk that quite. I'll look it up. Don't worry. Don't have to write me. But to the way they disregard the people and places where they operate, and I don't see historical precedent quite for that. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg had to go all the way back to Augustus Caesar for a role model. And like I've always said, I'm thankful it's not Caligula, but still, he's aspiring towards absolute power of a Roman dictator. You know, this is not right. You know, he said, I found this quote, through a really harsh approach, he established 200 years of world peace. You know, it didn't come for free, and he had to do certain things.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
All right, so that's Zuckerberg talking about, well, Augustus Caesar. You know, he had to do certain things. That's a little dark, right? You know, and I guess what are certain things? You know, Musk, what has he done? He created that thing, his independent body. He called it the Supreme Court of Facebook or of Meta, I guess. And it was going to make all the decisions about what's right and what's wrong. And he thought the Supreme Court would be good enough that all the other companies, all the other tech companies should be using the Supreme Court that he makes. Not a Supreme Court that happens through government. Not that we do much better through government making our Supreme Court. But no. It's something that he'll just pick these dudes. No, so at least Zuckerberg's kind of, you know, anti-democratic measures are expressed as the decrees of a would-be benevolent dictator, right? Musk, he doesn't have that kind of restraint. You know, he's the guy who tweeted, you know, we will coup whoever we want, deal with it, right? About something about rare earth metals coming out of Bolivia, right? They just will coup them. You know, when advertisers were leaving Twitter, when it was still called Twitter, and Musk had just taken over, he said, oh, we're going to do thermonuclear name and shame on anyone who wants to leave, right? He's got this aggressive gumption to tweet this way, I guess, because Twitter is his own platform. You know, he bought it, right? He is Tesla. And maybe that's the weird thing about this moment. Last time, in the last Gilded Age, each Titan kind of owned one industry, right? Rockefeller had oil, Carnegie had steel, Vanderbilt had railroads, and J.P. Morgan was the banker. You know, these guys were richer, but they seemed to be satisfied with a single vertical. You know, Elon Musk, he doesn't just own X and Tesla, but SpaceX, the Boring Company, Starlink, SolarCity, or is that part of Tesla now, Neuralink, XAI, and he wants to get another banking company like PayPal, which is his real dream for X. But he sold PayPal with Thiel to eBay. You know, Bezos, right? He doesn't just have Amazon, which is, I mean, God, what is Amazon? But Zappos, Amazon Prime, which is basically a Hollywood studio, the Washington Post, the movie thing, IMDb, Twitch, MGM, Whole Foods, Ring, they got a medical thing, Blue Origin, and the Amazon Web Services, right? The cloud services, they've got like a third of the market, right? These are not verticals. It's like they're horizontals, and horizontals are make for a different world. I mean, think about, you know, back in the 1950s, yeah, bad corporate shit was happening. So United Fruit Company needed a coup in Guatemala because the newly communist government wasn't going to let them exploit people on their plantation anymore. So they couldn't just publish their propaganda, right? United Fruit Company had to hire Ed Bernays, and then Ed Bernays had to enlist, you know, Hearst and Time and news agencies for the propaganda that then marshaled American support for the coup. Today, Musk owns both the company seeking Bolivia's rare earth metals and the propaganda machine capable of the disinformation required to get the American public to support that. Right. And far from seeing this as a threat to its ability to operate free of corporate pressure, the U.S. government has spent over $11.6 billion just on the unclassified contracts with SpaceX and Starlink since 2018, according to one of my students did some analysis of these of the expenses in the federal procurement data system. See, we're getting real data here. And the success these guys have across this broad spectrum, it seems to have given them a false confidence in their own kind of a universal expertise. Like, look at Bill Gates, right? He gave all this advice to America going on CNN and MSNBC about vaccines and public health. And he eventually issued a report where he graded each country's response to the COVID crisis as if he were a school teacher who knew better himself than every nation's Department of Health. And nobody got an A, right? So what is that, right? We're just supposed to follow him and listen to what he says, right? The 19th century industrialists, the 20th century industrialists, they donated to hospitals and libraries and universities, right? J.P. Morgan, he bailed out the federal government twice. They understood that giving money to existing institutions meant that it could be distributed by people who understood those institutions, those sectors better than an individual billionaire, they were comfortable outsourcing those decisions to the libraries or the hospitals. Today's billionaire philanthropists, and I've been meeting them, you know, asking them for even a couple thousand bucks to do a speaker series in my college. No, they donate to their own philanthropies. And they do it with their own stock. And then they make their own decisions about how the money is spent. Because after all, they are the experts in everything, right? They don't give to a university. Peter Thiel's fellowship, he gives $100,000 to young people to build things instead of going to college, right? Musk's X Prize and the Singularity University, they give money to, you know, exponential technologies that solve these global grand challenges with giant moonshots, right? This little committee is going to pick the thing that a zillion dollars should go to rather than, like, I don't know, paying tax. You know, and then the real expression, got to write this one down, the real expression of philanthropy in a digital age, it's effective altruism. This idea, this utilitarian idea of Sam Bankman-Fried and sometimes Musk, that the future matters more than the present, since one day there will be more people and post-human entities spread throughout the world than the 8 million kind of larval humans crawling around on Earth today. So it's better to earn money and then just donate a significant portion of it to the charities that make the difference to a better tomorrow. It's kind of this abstracted, empathy-free form of utilitarianism that you see in an Avengers movie, where that omniscient character, what was his name in Infinity Wars? He instantly murders half the life in the universe, I guess, in order to preserve the well-being of the survivors. These are these all-thinking, all-knowing supermen that see themselves as the saviors of the universe if only we'd believe them. You know, so you get, you know, the Elon Musk that we meet in Walter Isaacson's biography, where he's so fascinated with, like, Iron Man that he gives the tour of SpaceX to Robert Downey Jr. and the director of the movie, you know, and so he could model for them the way a real life celebrity industrialist can kind of save the world with his technology genius, you know. And online, you see Musk, he posts selfies of himself as Dr. Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme, right? As if he's really acquired these characters' martial arts abilities. I mean, he even challenged Mark Zuckerberg to a cage match after Zuck launched, what was it, Threads, the app that would compete with the dying Twitter. Oh, did I just say dying Twitter? I hope I don't get sued for that. I do feel like it's dying there, though. It's all bots. Every time I post a link to the show, I just see, like, 500 fake porn sites. Like, it's really weird. I don't know what they're thinking. They're retweeting me, but to whom? To, like, followers of one? I guess they're tweeting so that I see them retweeting me and think that they're humans. I have no idea what it is, but I think this is what happens when too many people level up to super elite status at once, like Turchin's saying. So They end up competing for status. They can get almost infinite money, but they can't get infinite attention. So Zuck and Musk, they tweet and thread at each other like superheroes or professional wrestlers, you know, and they're enabled by a fascinated press and public. I mean, look at me, I'm talking about it. And, you know? And we keep inflating their kind of demigod status. I mean, it's better than ultimate, you know, fighting or some reality TV show. Their bro battle served kind of as the first truly native form of content on the internet, this kind of entertainment and hero worship. They make these performative threats and denouncements from their perches up the on top of their globally scaled social media platforms, like they're virtual giants, each with his own origin story, you know, like they're our culture's equivalent of the Greek gods. That's the part that's weird to me. And I think for them, it may be more than a mere metaphor. That's why, you know, I wrote the whole book on the mindset, survival of the richest, that they're combining some distorted interpretation of Nietzsche with a pretty accurate interpretation of Ayn Rand, and come up with this sort of combo belief that God is dead and that the Übermensch has to remake the world in his own interests. Right. This is what Theo means, right? He hears in Nietzsche the call to take the future in his own hands. He said, "I no longer believe that freedom and democracy are compatible." Right? What is that, right? It's that you don't get hockey stick stock charts without this kind of totalized dominion thinking. So instead, you know, you get this 10x 0 to 1, be an order of magnitude better than everybody else. Be what Theo calls a definite optimist. Everybody else is too process-oriented, making these little incremental decisions. But what you got to do is press on with your singular vision no matter what. Go from 0 to 1. Build it from scratch. You know, build the world's biggest surveillance system, Palantir, right? And you be the all-seeing eye on top of the pyramid, right? But get a compound in New Zealand in and invest in some seasteading just in case, right? The idea is you move one level above. We've talked about that. Go meta, move up. You don't do Web 1, you do Web 2. You don't be one of the people on Web 2. You aggregate them and you do Web 3. You level up, right? That's not capitalism. I've just been looking at this book Cory Doctorow told me about by Yanis Varoufakis. That's called Techno-Feudalism. And he's really saying that this is no longer capitalism. The capitalists, the previous robber barons, they sought to extract value from workers by disconnecting them from the value they created. But they still made stuff. Feudalists seek entirely passive income by going meta on business itself. They are rent seekers who simply want to own the currency or the platform where the other people do the work. Right? That's what I always write about, you know, Jack Welch, when he decided he made less money selling washing machines than giving money to people to buy the washing machines. That lending made more money than the making. So whether they're colonizing Mars or upscaling human consciousness to the cloud, these titans today, they're less interested in producing value in the existing world than passively extracting enough value from it to leave us behind and start again on virgin territory, right? They're going to build the $500 billion mega city in Saudi Arabia called Neom from scratch, as long as they can move the 20,000 Bedouins who've been living there sustainably for a couple thousand years somewhere else. Or in California, you've got the CEO of Stripe, you got Mark Andreessen, LinkedIn founder Reid Hoffman, and Steve Jobs' wife, what's her name? Laureen Powell Jobs. They're bankrolling this walkable city they want to build in Solano, California, instead of working with the communities and governments in the Bay Area where they live to improve those places, right? It's like they're gods playing Sim City. This is not altruistic or effective, right? It's the opposite. It's this other kind of egotistical display that's way more extract than the egotistical displays of capitalists. You know, compare like the Macy's Day Parade to Blue Origin, right? The Macy's Day Parade, at least they were doing a spectacle for the city. They're paying back to New York City in the form of this big parade. You know, Jeff Bezos comes back from Blue Origin and he's like, "Thank you all for making this possible." Making what possible? You know what? That you could go do what we could do collectively 50 years ago. Now you're doing, oh, good luck. Have fun. You take a William Shatner up there, right? It's better entertainment. And that, I think, deep down, or maybe on the surface, actually, that's what's actually going on here. The antics of the tech feudalists, they make for better science fiction stories than they are models for legitimate paths to sustainability or even survivability. Sensationalism is no indication of viability. It's just advertising. Musk and Zuck challenging each other to duels as a way of what? It's a way of advertising their platforms. Musk is less X's CEO than he is its troll in chief. And Zuck is the only one of us anyone has seen carousing around in the metaverse. They are not gods. They are entertainers or pitchmen. So instead of emulating them, we should first laugh at them and then dismiss them, right? Change the channel. They are like the contestants in an episode of Survivor trying to be the last one on the island. It is entertaining, and sometimes it's hard to look away. It's the same impulse that leads many Americans to vote for Trump, less because they want him for president than because he'll make for better television. It's time to turn off this show. The car accident of a tech future, and get on with reclaiming the world from this new generation of robber barons rather than continuing to fund and watch their fantasies. These are not the demigods we're looking for. Well, thank you for being on Team Human and tuning in today. I hope you like this as a standalone thingy. It's kind of fun to do, mixing it up. Team Human is produced by Joshua Chapdelaine and edited by Luke Robert Mason. I am Douglas Rushkoff, and you've been on Team Human, our last best hope for peeps.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.